The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
What's up, guys? Dave Van Auken here. The Dave Van Auken Show presented by Fight Bananas. And also it's supported by our guys from MyBookie. Go to MyBookie.ag and use promo code Bananas. And especially this weekend, guys, this is it. UFC 279. We are around 48 hours away. It's September 8th. This is episode 129. We do our role and you know us. A great day yesterday at American Top Team. We'll talk about that. But also the podcast is packed. So I'm going to keep this intro to a short. We have Venom Bananas, L. Wagman, Ryan Quinn, and my bookies, Rafael Esparza, coming on. And then we will be anchored, like always, with Felicia Spencer with her phenomenal and lock pick for UFC 279. But American Top Team, real quick, fun story. And then just I'm going to take the main event and have a fun with it for 1 minute. American Top Team yesterday was phenomenal. We really, it was a photo shoot for Ben and Bananas, Ryan Quinn, and L. Wagman, and myself. So that went spectacular. Our guys, Eddie Martinez and Paige, came with us, a Fight Bananas family. So we did that. It was really cool. It was awesome to see Grant and Tiago Moises in their element, and they did some stuff. We had a really cool reel out there with more content to come. L. Wagman, of course, doing her thing. But it was just great, man, to see American Top Teams. We walked into one of their practices, 50, 60 of the best fighters on this planet all at once. It's great to see a lot of high-end mixed martial arts. They were kind of doing a grappling practice. It was just phenomenal. One of the great gyms on this planet, especially here in America. And it was cool. But real quick shout-outs to Grant, Tiago, and L. We're going to be back. We're coming back to probably American Top Team next week or the week after. Excited to go back. Love visiting American Top Team. Guys, big UFC 279. We turned the page. Paris is over. You know what I mean? Fight night's over. UFC Vegas 60 next week with the girl Jillian the Savage Robertson's around the corner. But UFC 279's here. Kevin Holland and Tony Ferguson definitely made this card, stack a really nice, thick pay-per-view card. Can't wait to watch it. I'm going to give it $74.99 of my hard-earned money. But the main event's here. Chimaev and Diaz is finally here. And before we kind of tell you the betting odds and, you know, where Ryan Quinn thinks is going to happen and what Felicia Spencer thinks of this card, I really want to give it a minute time. And when this fight was announced, I, like everyone else, and the betting odds, the odd makers think the same thing, right? Kazmet Chimaev, 11-0, undefeated, looks unbeatable, looks like he's bred to be a next UFC champion, and maybe more important, maybe a next UFC superstar. Chimaev is favored to smash Nate Diaz and to smash him early. Betting odds for round one and round two are higher than usual. They think Chimaev is going to get the job done within 10 minutes. But the closer and closer and closer we get to this fight, and to see the media and to see embedded and to see where Nate Diaz's head at, and to see that he's making his own promotion, what would be better? What would be bigger than Nate Diaz leaving the UFC with the victory over maybe their biggest, youngest star? He did it 4 or 5 years ago to Conor McGregor. No one thought Nate could do it. And I know Conor's, at that time, he was a featherweight moving up multiple weight classes. And I know Chimaev should be a middleweight that fights at welterweight, right? But you just never know. Chimaev's never been on a fight poster. He's never been the face of a pay-per-view. He's never been the main event. He's never had all the lights and all the media and all the embedded. And you got Kevin Holland trying to fight him. You got Paul Acosta trying to fight him. You got Nate Diaz. And he's already talking about Usman. And he's talking about Edwards now. And he's talking about Israel Adesanya. It's so much chatter and other talk than just the fight itself with Nathan Diaz. And we know the durability, and we know the jits, and we know that a submission off of his back, he can do wild things, and we know he can throw that 1-2 in the fifth round that he did against Leon Edwards. And we just saw Leon shock the world. Are we 48 hours away from Nate Diaz doing the same? So when everyone's on Chimaev, I'm just going to say this. My final prediction is I've Hazmat Chimaev win the TKO. All right, guys. Here comes Ben and Bananas with L. Wagman and Ryan. What's up, guys? Ben and Bananas. I'm Dave Van Auken. Towards the left, the cornerman, Ryan Quinn. Ryan, how you doing, my fine sir?
Good, good. Good to see you guys today.
I haven't seen you guys in forever.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was nice to actually meet you, Ryan.
Yeah, you too. Yeah,
that is very true. Underneath 5-0, she doesn't know how to lose. We had a great time. We had a great gym session. Even maybe had a little bit of sushi afterwards. It was a great day with the Grants. But Miss L. Wagman, L., how are you?
Doing great. Excited to get into this card.
Me too. Me too. Very, very excited. UFC 279. Jokingly about Nate Diaz, but it was media day today, and we were doing a lot of gym stuff, and I drove home. Nate Diaz stole the show. It's all about him. Today was all about Nate Diaz. You know, with my bookies at plus 500, we'll kind of get into it. Best bets and underdogs and three-fight parlays. A lot of crazy stuff that could happen on this card. But, guys, that's kind of – before we start, though, I do want to say this. Last week, and I try to prop up my friends as best as I can all the time. They deserve it. But you guys absolutely were unbelievable at UFC Paris. The Sierra Gaon, Tai Tuivasa overpick, your underdog pick. How about Nathaniel Wood? Three-fight parlays. Both of you guys nail your three-fight parlays. It was an unbelievable week. Just hats off to you guys. Like, an unbelievable, like, come on. Like, it doesn't get better than that.
Yeah, we were on fire. There's no doubt about that.
Sushi. There you go. That's a real fan. And look at this. Wait, we're going four window. My man, Rafael Esparza. How are you doing?
I am doing good. We got Ruthless here. Last time we actually had car trouble last time I was here. Yeah. So it's like Christmas.
There we go. It's a pay-per-view week. We're inviting the whole family over. You know, you got to pay for that $74.99.
Is it really? First of all, I'm glad I get reimbursed for all my pay-per-views. Second of all, this not should be a pay-per-view. It should be a death notice, maybe on the main event, possible. So this could be a very, very ugly pay-per-view of UFC, I think.
Wow. All right. Well, we got it. That's a teaser right there, folks. We'll get into it. Let's start how we always do. We've been absolutely nailing. Your guys have been nailing your best bet on the board. It might not be your favorite bet, but there's value involved. What's your best bet? L, we'll start with you. What's your best bet on this board for UFC 279?
I think this is an absolute shoo-in. I have Norman Dumont beating Danielle Wolf in under 2.5 rounds. I think it was, what was it at?
Plus 230.
And I think that is an absolute surefire bet right there. Danielle Wolf did, like, she kind of came in with all this hype behind her. She's had one MMA fight. Norma has had a ton of experience in the cage. She's definitely the bigger girl. She's the more physical girl. She has the grappling advantage. And I'm not even so sure that Danielle Wolf will have a striking advantage in this fight. I wasn't super impressed with her Contender Series fight. I understand it was her first time in the MMA cage, but I think that just goes to show that Norma can take this fight wherever she wants. And should the need arise, she can absolutely get her to the mat. And I think we're going to see a finish very early.
I like that a lot.
I couldn't agree more. Couldn't agree more with her.
Yeah. Yeah. Love that. Great call, L. Like always. Ryan, my man, keep the momentum going. What's your best bet on this board?
Jin Long Lee is going to win by knockout over Tony Ferguson. I just see Tony coming up. You know, he's a little bit smaller of a welterweight now. I do think he's on the end of his career as far as his performance and his output. Jin Long Lee has just, he's got the one loss to Neil Magny a little while ago, which I think that kind of brings his stock a little bit lower than it should be. But he's got some finishes off of sizable welterweights. And he's, aside from the loss to Chimaev recently, who I'm sure we're going to talk about more later tonight, he shows a lot of strength and power that's going to be just too much for Ferguson.
Rafael, do you have a number on that? The leech by knockout?
I have to check. I don't think it was up last time I checked. We were looking at putting up props sometime tonight, and I got stuck doing some other media. So I was on a very long interview of what was better, Star Trek or Star Wars, and that interview went way too long.
Yeah, because everyone knows Star Wars is better, so I don't even know why that's even.
Thank you. I knew me and you were always connected, but that interview went from MMA to football to Dancing with the Stars odds to what was better, Star Trek or Star Wars, and I just wanted to hang myself.
And MMA guys, like, we can go back and forth on who you like better, Poirier or Chandler, and we can go back and forth in 5 minutes. A Star Wars, Star Trek conversation, that is at least an hour. You have to devote at least an hour. There's no coming out of that alive. That's wild.
The comments section was just hilarious just to read. Someone told me I need to die. I mean, it was just fantastic stuff that was on there.
Yes.
I used to pretend that gi jiu-jitsu training was Jedi training. And by used to, I mean Tuesday.
Fantastic.
The man, the quarterback right there. All right. Both I like a lot. I like Dumont a lot. You know, Dumont beat a family member of Fight Finesse, Felicia Spencer, a year and a half ago. So I got a lot of respect for her and her game. I like that as well. Tony Ferguson, like, it's crazy. They made Chandler fight. He fights 2 months from now. He's the one that knocked out Ferguson. He's moving up a weight. A lot of shaky. I love the leech in that spot, probably by knockout as well. So love it. Guys,
I'll tell you right now, leaning for knockout will probably be anywhere between plus 180, plus 160, around there.
Like it. Okay, there we go. Our underdogs, we've been nailing these as well lately. Unbelievable last week. Elvis, start with you. What's your underdog play? There's a couple of them, couple dogs barking. Maybe one of the main event? Where are we going?
No way. We can get into it later, but I think the main event odds are 100% on point. I'm with them there. I think that this week is very similar to last week. I think the Vegas odds know what they're doing. I think they've picked, for the most part, they've picked really well. The only one I'm kind of high on right now is D-Rod. I actually really like Daniel Rodriguez over Kevin Holland. I was kind of back and forth on this one. I know, like, he's had some hand surgeries, and a lot of people were worried about that because he is a very heavy boxer, and if he breaks his hand, blah, blah, blah. I don't think that's going to matter because there's no way Daniel Rodriguez is going to quit over a broken hand. Or even stop throwing, for that matter. The dude is tough as nails. He's very technical as well. He's incredibly technical boxing. He has great takedown defense. And I think Kevin Holland sometimes struggles against those really technical guys that throw a lot of volume. And he's got the heavy hips, so if Kevin does decide he wants to wrestle, I think he might even struggle getting into the mat.
Okay. I respect it. I will say this, and of course, you know me, I never burn my sources. I have a great source. Kevin Holland has a great camp. He's on a good rhythm. Let's just say life is good in Kevin Holland's world. He just came off with a great win. He was hoping to get this Nate Diaz fight. So I think he's got a lot of momentum. I'm going to keep rolling with Kevin Holland, to be honest, but hey, let's see. I was wrong once in 1999, I believe. So let's see if it's the second time Saturday night. Ryan, what's your underdog play, my man?
Ooh, I'm sticking with Chris Barnett over Jake.
Yeah,
Coley.
There we go.
There we go. You know, first of all, I know Chris didn't look so good in his last fight. He had a lot going on outside of training.
Yeah.
I think 100% had to deal with his performance. Not 100%, but a lot. And then he's got, obviously, as we know, deceiving speed. And he's got those wild kicks. His genetic traits, his genetic strengths are that he's short. You know, now, and he's shorter than Coulier, who actually cuts a lot of weight for the division, which tells me he's going to fade a little towards the end of the third, but that's hard to set up. It's like he makes his money on his power punching, his 2-3. It's hard to set that up against a shorter, athletic, long range striker, which is so like a short, long range striking, like, doesn't go together. And Chris Barnett has that with the wheel kicks and everything like that. So I think that this is just going to be a very pesky point sparring till even maybe possibly a finish for Chris Barnett.
Plus 325, Rafael. Do you like that dog a little bit on the prelim?
I love the analogy. He's dead on that one, on the analogy. I'm a Barnett fan, so I'm hoping he does win it. But it's a tough fight. I'm shocked that no one mentioned my favorite Saturday night drink, Johnny Walker, on this as a nice underdog. I've heard he had a nice camp. I've heard his mental game is finally took the camp very seriously at this time around. So I'm hoping he has a nice show, because I might be needing that Johnny Walker, because I can't wait to watch the all female boxing match that goes late. Hopefully Nate Diaz goes to sleep really early in that one, so I can watch Marshall Shields in boxing on Saturday night as well. But I would not be shocked if Johnny Walker messes up a lot of parlays on Saturday.
He definitely can do it. I've always been, and I feel like I'm a more positive guy than negative. I just feel like Johnny Walker's been one of the most overrated fighters in the last couple, five, seven years.
Well, I'd say his last three fights.
Yeah, like, I remember he was like a close to number one contender to John Jones when he was a light heavyweight champion. That was a long time ago. Like,
who's John Jones?
Not that young prospect anymore. Like, it's wild. But hey, anything can happen. Especially those are big boys. They hit hard.
We'll see. Underdog. I didn't say he was going to definitely win. He's picking underdog.
I hear you. All right. L, you've been absolutely destroying your three fight parlays. These are not easy at all. I think you got two out of your last 3 weeks. You've been nailing. Let's run with it. Three fight parlay. Are we going to hear a Chimaev or a Diaz in one of these? Let's go. Three fight parlay. L Wagman.
I had to stay away from the main event. I even tried parlaying it, and the odds still weren't good because Chimaev is such a huge favorite. Like, it just didn't add very much to the parlay. I'm going to go starting with my best bet with Norma Dumont over Danielle Wolfe in under 2.5 rounds. That was plus money. I'm also adding Irene Aldana to that. I know she's a favorite in this one, but I think she's definitely has the better style in this fight against Macy Chiasson. Macy definitely has, like, she's a little bit more of a dynamic striker, but I think Irene controls the range much better. And I think that she's much better. She doesn't get hit as often. She's a little bit cleaner with those strikes, and I definitely see her getting it done. The third leg of my parlay, I was back and forth on this one, but I have the Kutelaba and the Walker fight actually going over 1.5 rounds. I know they both are kind of notorious for either getting knocked out or knocking the other guy out fairly early, but I think since they both have kind of had some rough patches recently, and they tend to get knocked out by more technical guys. Magomed Ankalaev, a guy like that, you know, who's very clean. And they're both kind of wild cards. They both throw kind of crazy. They're not super clean. They're not very accurate. And I think that clash, and maybe even the concern of the other guy being wild, is going to push that fight to the over 1.5 rounds. And that was also plus money. I think it brought the whole parlay to like plus 985, somewhere around there.
Plus 985. I like that. I love that over 1.5 for Walker and Ian. I love that one. That's probably one of the best bets we've talked about over the last 10 and 12 minutes. I like that one a lot. Rafael, I know it's hard to win parlays. That's why they call them, and that's why the money's great. Plus 985. Who doesn't love hearing that number? But how do you like that one?
I do. A lot of nice plus money. That's why that ticket pays really well. I agree with the Walker one. I think both fighters are going to be trying not to go to sleep really early. So I think maybe round one might be a snooze fest, and the crowd might be booing because both of them don't want to make that mistake where they're on the mat really early. So I totally agree on that one. That was one of the ones I was talking to a buddy of mine that he liked it as well. And we both said the same thing. It's going to be it's almost like when two boxing heavyweights jump in a ring, the first two rounds are just bore fest because no one wants to get hit with that powerful punch. We can see that in that fight.
I like it. All right, Ryan, take it away. Three fight parlay. Let's go.
Yeah, I'm going to be with you with Norma Dumont in the under. But I think we're going to be sweating between minutes 10 and 12. I'm sticking with the under. I just think that first round, like, Norma has a way about her that's very like paralysis before analysis, I feel, when she fights, especially in the stand-up. So things kind of slow down a bit. But I could see this fight snowballing and then closing in her direction. You know, but I said between 10 and 12, we're going to be sweating. Then, of course, I'm going to stick with my lock of the night with Jinglong Li. I really love that fight. I really love that by finish. And then, of course, in the main event, I know we kind of haven't talked about it yet, Khamzat Chimaev over Nate Diaz. However, I am not committing to a finish, though. I'm just going straight across. I feel that in his fight against Gilbert, that showed a little bit of immaturity in his performance, you know, with just slowing down that much in the third round, getting so tired. And Nate is just someone who's always there. And the funny thing about Nate is, you know, with his grappling, he could just chew a lot of clock. He could withstand a lot of damage. And we can't compare this. Like, remember, MMA is the ultimate game of rock, paper, scissors. So we can't compare what George Masvidal did to Nate 3 years ago to what Chimaev is going to do to Nate on Saturday. Chimaev doesn't have that cutting angle, explosive speed. Well, okay, he doesn't have that speed. I won't say explosion because he does have explosion. But I think that's a lot. The north-south style that Chimaev has is a lot easier to kind of just clam up. And if you don't see Nate Diaz just jumping, flopping to the ground and come on, let's go, you know, like to pull the guard and chew up some more clock, then you got another thing coming. But that's my picks there. So Chimaev, Jinglong Lee by finish, and Norman Dumont under.
Nice. I bet you. What do you think? I bet in the low 300s, I would throw out in that range, you know, maybe 350. All right, let's talk about Diaz and Chimaev. Let's talk about it. We've kind of beat around the bush for a little bit, and I think I know where everyone's at. I'm just going to throw this out there, and I guess I'm on Diaz Island a little bit on this play. He's plus 500 as an underdog, so let's just kind of start there. I'm not
going to be higher by fight night.
There you go. I don't disagree. Maybe in the 650, 700, maybe in that range. Nate Diaz, this is just his spot. Like, this is a perfect spot for Nate Diaz. Last fight on the contract, has a chip on the shoulder, anti-UFC. Tell me that Nate Diaz wouldn't want to put cold water on the UFC's new rocket launcher. Conor McGregor 5 years ago, Chimaev now. Tell me that Diaz can't go multiple rounds. Let's see Chimaev in the fourth or fifth grappling. You know, I know he's the wrestler of Chimaev. You don't think Nate can do something slick? I think to me, betting wise, he's being overlooked. I'm just going to throw that out there. I think he's being a little bit overlooked right now.
I agree with you. And for us odds makers, we're going to be hoping and praying Chimaev takes this fight and finishes it early, because everybody's going to put at least $20 on Diaz, $10 on Diaz. They're going to not buy their weed that night just before they can put money on Diaz. We're going to be big, huge fans of the heavy favorite. And that's why I think we're going to be needing the heavy favorite big, because I think a lot of it's going to – I mean, people are going to parlay Chimaev, but that doesn't really matter, because those parlays ain't going to pay off that much when you add a 1,500. Would not be shocked if it closes around 1,600, 1,700. Wow. But it's going to be – yeah, I love Nate Diaz. I've met both of the boys before in Vegas, and they invited me to go out. And I'm like thinking in my head, there's no way I would survive if I went out with both of them. So I would love to see what you just said. That would be fantastic. That would be something AEW would probably want to write, or WWE would try to steal or something. That'd be fantastic. But I just don't see – I mean, Chimaev is just – He's another animal. I mean, I just don't see it.
I see El grinning from ear to ear, ready for it. El, we'll take it. We're on the same team, but give it to me. I would assume Chimaev and early from your read on your smile.
Not necessarily, but if he doesn't finish, it's because Chimaev decided not to. Like, or just use poor fight IQ, like, which I agree with Ryan. I think he showed some immaturity in the Gilbert fight as well, and just some poor fight IQ, really wanting to show his striking. But, like, you're like, oh, would Nate Diaz want to? Sure he would, but it doesn't matter what Nate Diaz wants. He is not in control of this fight, no matter where it goes. And you have to understand, it's just like in Norma Dumont's position times 100, that he can take the fight to the mat at any time. Everybody talks about Nate Diaz's grappling. I don't think it's that impressive, especially in MMA. Maybe in jiu-jitsu, maybe in the gi, maybe in the gym. But who has Nate Diaz subbed in the last decade?
The great Conor McGregor.
Who was a 45er at the time, fighting at 170, and clearly looked lazy and clearly looked tired. That's my point. Like, who else? Yeah. Like he's not
you're right. I definitely give you that one. I threw this out there a little bit with the Burns, and this is where I saw. So to me, in Jacksonville, Florida, 8 months ago when they fought, they were the main event of that card. The main event was Volkanovski versus Korean Zombie, but everyone was there for Chimaev and the bright lights versus Burns, and that fight was awesome. One of easily the best fights of the year. But yeah, Gilbert, I think, definitely won the second, and the third round was going back and forth a little bit too much of a war. It just seems to me that if it's IQ, and now to me, Chimaev is like on the poster. He is the poster. He is the main event. He is the high favorite. to me, all this stuff adds together. Like, Robbie, you can tell about this, like the Super Bowl, you know, Joe Burrow, all these young quarterbacks rarely win the first time in the Super Bowl. It's hard. It's a whole nother level. And for him to be on the post, so this card is the Chimaev and Diaz card. This card didn't have Kevin Holland and Tony Ferguson a couple weeks ago. It was just based on them two. And I think that's a lot of pressure. And I almost, I don't want to say cocky, and he always has that kind of maybe arrogance or confidence to him. But to me, he's overlooked Nate Diaz. I think that's fair to say that he's totally thinks he's already won this fight. I'm just going to throw that out there. Just a lot of stuff is adding up.
I think he should, though. Like, I think he should.
You're probably right.
Like, we're talking about him losing, arguably losing a round to Gilbert. Gilbert annihilates Nate Diaz. Like, we're talking about, yeah, Khamzat can make a poor decision. Yeah. I can absolutely see that happening. But Nate Diaz is also not known for his fight IQ. So can he capitalize on a poor decision? Probably not. Like, at this point, Nate Diaz is just a cardio machine that throws volume. And I don't think he can knock out Khamzat.
Right.
I don't think he has the power. I don't think he has the athleticism. He doesn't get tired, but he's not a guy who's dangerous in later rounds just because he doesn't get tired. You know, he's just, like Ryan said earlier, he's just there. He might not go away, but he's not making huge statements in those later rounds. Like, I know Leon got a little sloppy, got hit once, everybody lost their minds. But like, you, once again, you have the threat of the wrestling. And if Khamzat does get hurt, that's a dude that can wrestle injured. Like, he can wrestle half unconscious and win that way.
And I don't think this is Khamzat's Super Bowl. I don't think in his camp they think it's not for a belt. So, I mean, if you're a fighter, the belt is your Super Bowl.
Sure,
so he's just the headliner of a pay-per-view. So I don't think he comes in thinking, hey, this is my Super Bowl.
And a dude who's been competing his whole life in wrestling as well. Like, he's not new to the spotlight. Just, like, you know what I'm saying?
I tried to sell an 88 used Chevy Malibu. I'm sorry it didn't work. I got Chimaev via second round TKO. All right? All right. I tried.
I want to hear what Ryan has to say.
No, I just – I'm not looking at Nate's jiu-jitsu as like an offensive weapon. I just think that it'll keep him safe to the finish line. Like, that's especially because he is rangy, you know. I just feel his jiu-jitsu will keep him safe in this fight. I mean, unless Khamzat gets really tired, then that's the only way I could see Nate pulling off a submission because, like you said, like, he's got that pesky cardio. But I just don't see it. I just don't
see it.
Would
this top UFC upset of the making if Nate Diaz wins?
No.
No. I think Matt Serra over GSP to me is still, like, the greatest upset of all time.
I agree. I couldn't agree more with you right there.
I think Holm versus Rousey is still a major one. And then let's just be honest. Of course, we just saw 3 weeks ago, of course, not going into the fight. Leon was a live dog. But going into that fifth round, we talked about this probably by nausea now. Like, going into that fifth round, like, everyone was talking about who Usman's going to fight next. That was it.
Minus 2,500 going into the fifth round.
Yeah, there you go. Like, that's bananas. That's wild. It's up there. I think it's a top five, top seven, and just because of the how big they are and the names and all that. But, you know, to me, Sarah, GSP, Holm, Rousey, those are, you know.
All right, I don't have a trivia tonight, but, like, you just brought up something good. Those of you watching, leave your favorite mixed martial arts upset in the comments. Let us know what you think. All right.
I like it. All right, guys. With all this information, you take it all right now to go to mybookie.ag and use promo code bananas. Get that 50% matchback deposit. Super easy. Just go to mybookie.ag. It's the place to go. We gave you the information. Last week, UFC Paris, we absolutely clean sweep, best bet, best underdog, and 3-5 parlays. Ryan Quinn, L. Wagman, thank you guys very much. Raphael, thank you so much for joining, coming back on the show. We're kind of getting a momentum. We're not traveling for a little bit. I was in Albuquerque. We were in Biloxi. We're back home. Hopefully we'll have you on a couple weeks in a row, my man.
Not a problem. It's always a pleasure being on you. You guys do some great work. And your analogies, bar none, I love it.
Great.
Which one, me, Ryan, or L?
I'm not going to say it. I want you guys to think about who I'm talking about.
Oh my god, it's the best right there. Ryan, you're the man.
She pointed up my top guy. She pointed to who I really like to listen to.
I know.
She pointed.
Everyone loves Ryan. Ryan doesn't have one non-fan. He's the man, dude.
Someone came up to me like, "Oh, I saw you on your show." They're like, "Oh, we love listening to Ryan's analogy on fights." I'm like, "He blows me out of the water." I sometimes just sit back and let him talk.
And L Wagman gets back into that cage in a month from today.
Yeah.
Like 5 weeks.
There we go. 6-0. All right, guys. Have a great night.
It's going to be 7-0. It's going to be 7-0. That's it.
Well, no. I'm going to be
6.
Oh, okay.
Well, you're 7-0 too, so screw it.
Yeah. Dude, 2-1 night. KSI did it.
A 10-8 round winner, and it gets 2 points. 2 wins.
Awesome, guys. Have a great night. Head to mybookie.ag. Use promo code BANANAS. Love that intro, Felicia Spencer. What is up? How are you? Pay-per-view week.
Yeah, pay-per-view week without a title fight. It's pretty exciting. I'm doing good.
There's not a lot of those. It's usually a McGregor or a Masvidal or a Diaz. And kind of Diaz, to me, is kind of starting maybe the baton to a Chimaev that can pull this off. So super intrigued. We might talk about the main event a little bit. It's such a polarizing fight. And at least to me, to be really honest, the closer we get to the fight, I'm leaning a little bit more one way than I thought I ever would. Like, I thought, of course, when the fight was made, everyone was Chimaev, first round TKO, first round. And the more and more it gets closer and closer, I'm like, I don't know. Diaz is durable. He could go in the fourth round. Let's see. I don't know. But that's the full card. UFC Paris last week was an awesome show. That main event was fantastic. Robert Whittaker does what Robert Whittaker does, and amazing. Like, did anything jump off you? Was it the main event and co as well?
I mean, first of all, I love cards that are early in the day.
Yes.
So I can actually watch them.
Yes.
That's my favorite part about the card. Robert Whittaker just proving he's number two for a reason. And well, he says still number one, you know. Yeah. He feels it. That's good to have that confidence. I think he's got the skill set, like, you know, on a good night to beat anybody. So
yep.
That was super cool. It was pretty scary for my lock to have a moment in the main event where I was like, no. everything turned out for Gon to win and yep. On to the next. Yeah. So this weekend's going to be, actually, I'm interested in a few fights on this card that aren't the main event, you know, obviously. So looking forward to it.
Before I turn that page, and I'm going to go into one way, and I think you probably know where I'm going with that. One thing real quick, Ciryl Gane. I said it on my show through the week. I think Ciryl Gane is the, on the male side, one of the most underrated fighters in the under the organization. He's a heavyweight, a good looking, great physique. Is literally only lost to the champion, who's like unbeatable in a 5-round, really close fight. Like, a lot of people had that fight 2-2 going in the 5th round. In some reason, for some why, like, I don't know why Ciryl Gane like doesn't get that publicity or respect or from like the mainstream. Like, not a lot of people, you know me, like you and I, we watch everything. I talked to a couple people about it, like. A lot of people don't know who Ciryl Gane is. Like, he's not well-renowned like most other guys who challenge for the titles or guys that have who's 5-1 or 6-1 for the organization. It's really weird to me because usually heavyweights, they try to like push up and they make him polarize it. And for some reason, he's not. Do you know maybe why? Do you have a feeling on that? Or
I feel like there has to be like, I think they've focused on one per division, you know, like, I mean, if you think about like how his physique looks, like very impressive and everything, but then you look at him next to Ngannou and it's like, well, right next to him, he doesn't look that impressive. So, you know, back in the day, like even in the heavyweight division, like when you had Brock Lesnar and Shane Carwin, no one knows who Shane Carwin is, you know, even though he had the skills and the physique. Next to Brock Lesnar, it's like, of course you're going to pay attention to Brock. Yeah. So it's a similar thing.
Okay. All right. I like it. All right. Let's get into it. UFC 279. I would say 3 weeks ago, a kind of a weak pay-per-view card. They really did bulk it up with Kevin Holland and D-Rod. and also Ferguson and Lee. I really think that gave it just some meat on the bone. And now that made everything else like a Norma Dumont fight, you know, a really solid prelim fight and some other stuff. I love the Irene Aydana versus Maxine fight. Like, that's a really good sneaky fight. So to me, it filled out the card. It made the card a well-rounded card. So before we get into your picks and main events, is there something that's jumping at you? Was it that Norma Dumont fight?
Yeah, well, that's one of them for sure. It's just obviously I'm biased because I was in the division and I was supposed to fight Danielle Wolf and all that. So I'm excited to see how that plays out.
She ran away from the Felicia Spencer fight. She didn't want any of that smoke.
Yeah, well, you know, we'll see what happens with Norma, you know. I'll be interested because I want to see how she looks in MMA. She's only had one MMA fight, so I'm interested. And then obviously, like, I'm always interested in what Macy does because we also have history, and I'm excited for her to make progress in the division. I like the co-main event with the Leech. I think it's a cool spot with a big name.
Yes.
And then I'll get into like my underdog and stuff in a little bit.
Let's get into it, right?
The other one.
We have the thing already up. I'm good with the buttons. Felicia Spencer's phenomenal pick, your underdog pick. There's a lot of underdogs, a lot of big name that are underdogs. Of course, Nate Diaz, a humongous right now. He's at plus 650 as an underdog. A lot of crazy stuff, but you take it away. What's your phenomenal pick on UFC 279?
I think you probably know, you know, when I saw this name as an underdog, as a big underdog, it was pretty easy for me to just pick Chris Barnett again as an underdog.
Yes, okay.
Because he's not like, I mean, his opponent's, I mean, all of them, everyone that's in the UFC is there for a reason, you know, but it's not like he's fighting top of the division. Like, you know, he's fighting
the phone on Fluffy. Is the phone really just like, is he like your cameraman?
Well, he's like under the tripod. So he's moving and shifting. So, So I think, you know, with anyone who's not like the top of that division, I think Chris Barnett has a flashy chance of winning and more than just a chance. He's a good martial artist. He's well-rounded. So, and he's exciting. So I think he's a good bet. He's like a plus 330 or something weird. So, I mean, I just thought it would have been closer. So on that big of an underdog, I thought it's fair to pick him.
1,000%. And feet, like, that really did shock me because it's a heavyweight fight and Barnett already shocked. He was a plus 300 or 400 underdog in Madison Square Garden a year and a half ago and won. So I would think the bookers, you know, all those odd makers would be like, oh, we can't do it again. We can't make the same mistake twice. But when I saw that, and, you know, no slight to Jake Collar, we respect all fighters. You're in the UFC for a main reason. He's a really, really good fighter. I just don't think Jake Collar is that much better than Chris Barnett, even if he is better. Like, I think Barnett has a real, real, real shot of winning this fight, not just we're going to throw it at the wall and hope to hit. I think Barnett is going to win this fight. I do.
Yeah. I mean, I agree. Like you said, he's not facing someone that's like proven to be just dominant, scary, impossible to beat. So it's an exciting one. A good one to look out for. So I guess I'll roll into my lock. Well, this one was actually a lot harder for me this week for the lock. It's funny how some weeks the lock is easy and the underdog is hard. Like last week, the underdog was super hard. This week, the lock is really hard. A few that jumped off to me was like Hakeem Dawodu, obviously Chimaev. But just to mix things up, since everyone's going to pick Chimaev probably, except for maybe you, it sounds like. I'm going to go ahead and pick the Leech to beat Tony Ferguson. I didn't want to pick against Tony Ferguson because I really, you know, don't want to see him lose because I – you know, I think it would be a nice time for him to win and maybe hang it up, like, on a good note, if that was what he wanted to do. But I think Leech is a scary guy. He's a really good martial artist. I'd love to see him get that pop. So, you know, and he's a favorite for a reason, I think. I think Ferguson hasn't won since 2019, I think, maybe 2018.
Since before the
Gaethje fight was the first
before
one.
Before the pandemic, because remember you fought Gaethje in that first big fight in the pandemic.
Yeah, so, and I actually forgot that he's fought like three times since then, I think. So,
yeah,
he's lost all of them. So, I don't know if it's just time or or what I'm kind of curious what we're going to see, even though we just saw Tony in May. It feels like I haven't really seen Tony be Tony in a long time. So maybe he'll be, you know, what do you call it? Vintage Tony, and something crazy will happen. So maybe me picking the leech will now make Tony win. So either way, I guess good things will happen based on my pick.
All right. I'm so happy with this. This is such a great conversation because I feel like you and I, right? One, and we've talked about this plenty of times, and I've always thought Tony somehow, some way, got through that great run as a lightweight. And anytime you win in the UFC is a job well done and a very respectful thing. But like, he was put on pound for pound list, and he was like the interim champion, and people thought he had a lot of people thought he was the one to going to dethrone Khabib Nurmagomedov. And I was always like, guys, if you look through that lineage of run, he was fighting the right guy at the right time off of an injury or a good name that at the end of their career, or just like, it just worked out really well for him. And I don't want to say he's been exposed over these last three or four, but there's a real, you know, thing to it. And then the thing I want to take it with you, especially because, you know, I think you have great history on this. It's kind of a little bit shocking that he is fighting before Michael Chandler's fighting, and they fought and Michael Chandler had a black eye, and I remember he was holding his beautiful baby and he had a black eye. It's such a historic picture. Tony Ferguson was, his picture was flat on his face, knocked out. And it's wild that he's kind of taking this fight a little bit on short notice. I know it's at welterweight, and that's hopefully good for him, a little bit more meat on the bone, and hopefully his head is good. How do you feel with just Tony Ferguson fighting kind of so soon since that horrific knockout and kind of towards the end of his career? Is there a little bit of you of like, I hope he's okay, and I wish maybe he would have some people around him to be like, Tony, hey, maybe we should have took the rest of the year off. Maybe we should have gave 2022 the rest of the year off. Train if you really want to train. If you want to, you know, it's hard for fighters to hang it up. You know, it's something that you put so much time and effort into. I just think it's wild that he is fighting before Michael Chandler. I guess that's a long story short. I think it's wild that he is fighting before Chandler.
Yeah. I'm sure there's a lot of things, like you said, that go into that. And it is kind of confusing. It hasn't even been 6 months, you know, and usually that's the, I'm wondering how he got that, you know, suspension written off, because that's pretty standard for a knockout. Yeah. I mean, it's a tough one. I mean, it's nice that he's not going. Does Leech have knockouts on his record? I'm thinking of him more like wrestling, but I guess he does. Yeah. So, I mean, kind of the same. I hope he's well after. If he can pull off a win, like, I hope that he hangs it up on a good note. And I feel like we've all kind of thought that since 2020, and he keeps coming back, and I keep forgetting that he comes back because he keeps, you know, not making a big statement after. I'm kind of on the same page as with you. I'm surprised. When I looked it up, I was like, oh my God, I can't believe he just fought in May. That is kind of crazy. But Chandler seems to have his, you know, he's not like desperate for a fight. I feel like maybe Tony has a little bit of like the need for redemption bug, which is like kind of self-defeating at the same time.
Just on how he lost, and it was just so polarizing. It's one of the, to me, scariest knockouts in UFC history, and just how he fell, it was very like, ooh, like, it was, the pop happened, it was like, whoa, what a knockout. And then when they went to Tony, it was like, whoa. As a fan of just of mixed martial arts, I was like, okay, is he all right? Like, that was a tough one. That was a tough one to watch, and he's fighting, and the Leech is a dangerous guy. I think he's an underrated UFC fighter, big name. And I know he didn't look good against Chimaev. I know that probably didn't go his way, but I think the Leech is a lot better than what people think. So with your lock pick, I totally agree with it. But we went to 13 minutes and 30 seconds. We kind of teased about the main event. I would love your take. And my take on it is, like I kind of hinted at the beginning, when the fight was made, I 100% thought Chimaev was going to do his thing, take care of Diaz, probably in pretty quick fashion, just mangle him, out-wrestle him, get him down, TKO him within 5 minutes. That's what I thought. But the more and more and the more and more we see it, Nate is just one of those super durable guys, dangerous on his back, knows how to survive, He has a lean, long jab as well, too. So I feel like maybe he can kind of hopefully keep Chimaev off of him. I think this fight is going longer than what people think. And then, to me, when this fight goes to round 3, 4, or 5, the pressure really starts to go on Chimaev. It's like, whoa, you should have put this guy away earlier. Maybe the momentum of the crowd, I would assume, really will behind Nate Diaz. So I think the longer this fight goes, the better it is for Diaz. I don't know. I just think this is going to be a better fight and a more entertaining fight than what people think. That's my 2 cents.
Yeah, I agree. As boring as that is.
I know, disagree!
But, I mean, I still see Chimaev winning a decision. Yeah. A finish could easily happen with Chimaev.
Do you think he's going to stop Diaz?
If I had to bet, yes. But okay. I wouldn't be surprised if it was a decision either, just because of how durable Diaz is. He's not going to tap, He'll just go to sleep. He has to get put to sleep, or something broken. So, but at the same time, part of me is, wondering about if Diaz, he doesn't really seem like he cares about the fight. He just kind of wants to be out of his contract kind of thing, feel that I'm getting. So it's like, is he going to really want to go to war and go through that? Or is he just kind of this is entertainment. I'm doing my part. I'm getting out of my contract and then I'm moving on with my life. You know what I mean? So, so it's kind of hard to say. It seems like the stuff I've seen for this week during fight week that he's kind of you said, he kind of gave up training and he's just ready to bring it kind of thing. I don't know if he'll be able to turn off that warrior switch too, when he's in there, even if he doesn't intend to get beat up or whatever, probably will just revert back to being a badass, So, I think I agree. This is actually really is a good main event. It's very interesting. Up and comer, but also just relentless at taking and giving punishment in the Diaz brothers. So, I'm excited about it. It's a good one.
Very cool. All right. We're very aligned, very, very much aligned. And hopefully that's for good thing. I think you and I have a pretty decent MMA mind. So I think I love Chris Barnett as an underdog. The Leech is one of my favorites on the card as well. I really like Kevin Holland in that spot as well. I know D-Rod's a dog and I know he doesn't get knocked out. But to me, Kevin Holland to me is another level or two above him. A couple female fights, I like it as well. We did, like I said, we mentioned Dumont. I love Irene Aldana. She's one of my favorites, actually. I like her in the division. So I'm excited. That's it. We're 2-3 days away. UFC 279. It's going to be a late show, T, okay? You're going to be a late show. I'll keep on texting you, making sure you're up. You and Todd got to stay up late, all right?
That's going to be a chore,
It's going to be a chore. I'm with you there. Paris, it was over at 4:30. It was amazing. It was awesome.
I loved it. And it was free. It's hard to buy a pay-per-view and then fall asleep.
I know.
And then remember that you bought that pay-per-view. at least I wish they could switch. I would buy the daytime cards because I know I'm going to watch.
Yeah.
I prefer to watch a free nighttime card. But anyway, we'll leave the business to them.
There you go, guys. Felicia Spencer, the Phenom, each week here on Fight Fanatics with our lock and phenomenal picks. We appreciate your time, Fee, and we'll talk to you real soon, my friend, all right?
Yes, you will. See you next time.
Oh, you down!
For the ones who get it done, the most important part is the one you need now. And the best partner is the one who can deliver. That's why millions of maintenance and repair pros trust Grainger, because we have professional-grade supplies for every industry, even hard-to-find products. And we have same-day pickup and next-day delivery on most orders. But most importantly, we have an unwavering commitment to help keep you up and running. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.